As I mentioned in the morning, we'll be looking into the Lord's Prayer each day, Lord willing. I know that sometimes the Lord will redirect us and speak to us differently, perhaps in certain meetings, but we'll try to get through that teaching. I think that's what the Lord wants while we're here. And in the evenings, I would like to look at passages from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke speaks much of the prayer life of Jesus, and not that every story we read will have something to do with Jesus praying, but there's something very precious about each Gospel. The Gospel of Luke presents Jesus as one of us, full of compassion. That word compassion comes up quite a bit in reference to Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. As I mentioned, Luke says much about his praying, his prayer life. I think Luke is the only gospel that tells us that when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, that while he was praying, then the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the bodily shape of a dove. And so there are stories from the Gospel of Luke that I sure will be a blessing to us. On Wednesday mornings in our church, we have been looking into the Gospel of Luke, and we just finished doing that also in our Monday morning minister meetings on Zoom. Every Monday morning, our fellowship ministers and some others gather together via Zoom, and it's always been our custom to read a chapter in the Bible, to discuss it, and then to pray, spend time worshiping the Lord. We start in Matthew 1, we go to Revelation 22, I guess, and then we start over again. We've been doing this for years. I've been doing it for over 40 years in the ministry here in New York. And it was interesting to me that both on Monday mornings and then also on our Wednesday morning Bible studies in Canarsie, we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. And I've been hearing some of these stories over and over again and getting so much out of it, so much blessing. Usually the person preaching or teaching gets more of a blessing than the people that are listening to them, because they spend time over the Word of God, praying, meditating, thinking about these things. And that's been the case with me, and I'd like to share some of those thoughts with you. Now, if my life wasn't busy enough, a lady in our church said, you know, I can't make it to every Wednesday. It would be nice if you wrote a little recap of what we studied on Wednesday. And so I thought, well, okay, that's a nice idea. I didn't know that it would take me hours each week to come up with something. But, you know, on Wednesday mornings, it's very interactive in our church. And so everyone's got something to say. And when it's all said and done, you know, the preacher's job is to try to put it all together and, you know, make some simple point that we can take home with us. And so on our website, we have developed a Wednesday morning recap with Pastor Ken. And I have some of those that I printed out. And this one is entitled, Stop Praying. I guess we can end right there, right? Stop Praying. Well, let me read something to you. There's a story that's a true story. It says, Southern Hospitality, no one did it better than Percy and Susie Samuels. After loading our plates with more chicken than a human should be allowed to consume in one sitting, then came the vegetables and a mountain of mashed potatoes. Wash it all down with sweet tea and be sure to leave room for dessert. Such was my introduction to Fredericksburg, Virginia, where I served as a young minister in my first church. That was over 40 years ago. I was 22 at the time. My indigestion has long since passed, but the deep impression this godly couple made on me that day remains with me still. They taught me a lesson in faith. Brother Bowie, that's Bowie Curry. He still lives in Virginia. Brother Bowie and I were glued to our seats as Brother Percy shared one story after another about their spiritual journey and the trials they encountered along the way. This elderly couple's simple faith didn't come without a cost. He told me of the time Sister Susie had taken ill and how long they had wrestled in prayer and fasted as she slowly but surely drifted ever closer to death's door. Such long-lasting trials can be very wearing on the soul. Their pastor at the time, Brother Charles Andrews, sensed that this was happening as he made his daily visits to their home. His counsel, though wise, was highly unconventional. "You stop praying. We'll take over from here." Far from an empty promise, he immediately called the church together to pray Sister Susie through to victory. You could almost feel the relief as they cast their heavy burden upon the shoulders of the family of God. And so prayer was made without ceasing of the church for her. Many years later, as a testimony to God's faithfulness, Sister Susie was standing there serving me and Bowie a quarter of an apple pie each for dessert. No kidding. I remember that, visiting this elderly Southern couple. And they did. They piled our plates higher than I've ever seen them piled before. But I remember them telling that story, how sick Sister Susie was and how they were praying and praying, and they were just getting worn out. And then Brother Andrews, their pastor, comes and says, "You stop praying. We'll take over from here." I never heard anything like that before. Pastor telling his people to stop praying. But it wasn't just empty words. He got the church together, and they began to pray and really call on God. And God began to move, and God began to strengthen her and lift her out of her sickness. And as I mentioned here, many years later, Sister Susie was still with us and being a blessing in the church, she and her husband, they were like the holy mount of God, through many ages proved. God's faithfulness was seen in their life. And they taught me something about faith, how we need each other, how we need each other's faith, that God has given us a family to care for one another. You know, sometimes our faith is like a chain. You're one link in the chain, and I'm another link in the chain. And as we link our faith together and agree together in the name of Jesus, we make a chain that reaches right to the victory that the Lord has promised us. I'd like you to return with me to Luke chapter 5. There's just a story that illustrates that for us in the time that we have left this evening. Luke 5. In the beginning of this chapter, we read about Jesus teaching from Peter's fishing boat. "Came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He entered into one, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And then when he was done speaking, he told Peter to launch out into the deep for a draught. Let down your nets for a draught." Now that word looks like it would be pronounced draught, but they tell me it's draught. So if you ever read that and you say draught, people will be very impressed with you. "And Simon answered, said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net." You know, they had just been cleaning the net. They had worked all night. Now Jesus tells them to get the nets dirty again. But Peter obeyed out of respect. Probably wondered, what does Jesus know about fishing? But I'll do it anyway. And when he did, they caught such a draft of fish that the nets began to break, I think. It did say that here? Yeah. And then they called the other fishermen to come over and help them. And then Peter fell down and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And then Jesus told him, "From henceforth you shall catch men. I will make you fishers of men if you'll come and follow me." Remember that Sunday school song? I can still see the motions, right? Okay. And then it's the next story tells us that a leper came, a man full of leprosy. He fell down at Jesus' feet on his face and besought him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you want to, I know you can. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy was departed from him. I'm always moved by that Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper. I'm sure he could have just said, be clean, and he would have been healed. But that leper hadn't felt a human touch for a long time. And so Jesus very lovingly and compassionately reached out and touched the leper. The first touch that he received was that of Jesus. And then he told him, don't tell anybody, but go and show yourself to the priest. In order to be reinstated into society, he had to be examined. They had to make sure that his contagious disease was cured and there was no danger of him contaminating the family and so on. There were sacrifices that needed to be offered. We read about that in Leviticus. And then he could be restored to his place. But it said in verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. They couldn't keep these stories to themselves, and words started getting around, and Jesus was getting very popular. People were coming from all over with their sick ones, those that were bound, that he might touch them and heal them. And then, of course, his teaching. They wanted to hear his teaching. No one ever taught like Jesus did. They said he spoke with authority. He spoke like one who knew what he was talking about. Their religious leaders, they just parroted things they heard. And they passed on teachings from their rabbis and so on. But Jesus, he spoke from his heart. He spoke as one that really knew. And his words were spirit and they were life. And people felt that. And so multitudes were coming to Jesus. His life was getting more and more busy. His days were getting more and more filled with demands. And it says in verse 16, as he withdrew himself, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. I looked that verse 16 up in a number of translations, and most of them say he withdrew himself to a solitary place to pray. The more the multitudes came demanding Jesus to touch them, heal them, teach them, the more he had to get away to pray. Dr. Gray, that's a name that some of you would know, a godly man that used to visit the camp, was a good friend of Brother Gardner and Sister Gardner. He was the dean of the East Texas Bible College many years ago. And something of a Greek scholar and so on. And I believe it was this verse that he was referring to. But he said in the Greek, the sense is the more the people came, the more he had to get away to pray. The busier he got, the more he had to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just the opposite of me. The busier I get, the less time I have to pray. Is that the way it is with you too? I was too busy to pray today. I'm tired. I was so busy, I didn't have a chance to really spend quality time with the Lord. But Jesus was just the opposite. The more the multitudes came, the more he got alone to pray. Sometimes he had to do it at night while the disciples were sleeping. They'd wake up early in the morning and they'd find Jesus. He was praying. While they were sleeping, Jesus was praying before his day began. And then it goes on here and tells this story. And that's the story I wanted to get to. Okay. It says, behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. That's verse 18. King James says a palsy. That means he was paralyzed. I don't know if he had a fall and a spinal injury, but he couldn't walk, couldn't move evidently. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Okay, Jesus was teaching in a house, and there was quite a crowd that filled that house to hear him. And they came, and maybe they thought, we should have got here earlier. And how are we going to get this man to Jesus? He's surrounded by this crowd of people. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they were all blocking the door, they went up onto the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So you get the picture here. You've heard the story before, I'm sure. I remember trying to illustrate this in Ridgewood. We were doing a skit, and we were trying to, I remember that some of the kids, Kenny Ott and so on. So I built this little house. And the idea was that they were supposed to climb up in the back of the house and break through the roof, pull the tiles apart, and lower this man down. And they actually carried a fellow behind the house, and then we had a dummy that we were going to lower through the roof, right? And so I scored the roof. It was styrofoam, and I scored it with my razor. But evidently not enough, because as they tried to break down, the whole roof came in. It was quite a disaster. Turned out to be more of a comedy than a spiritual blessing. But I never forgot it, and I don't think they did either. So they broke up the tile on the roof. Right? It's a flat roof, you can imagine. And they tried to figure out Jesus, you know, where he was, and they began to pull the tiles apart. And then as Jesus is talking, there's dust falling down on his head. And then he looks up and he sees a little hole in the ceiling and the light's coming through. And then he sees little fingers pulling stuff. And then he sees a face, right? And then suddenly they made the hole big enough that they lowered this fella down. I guess they brought some rope with them and they tied it to each end of his cot. And that must have been scary for the fella. But they lowered him down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus, it said, when he saw their faith, not the man's faith necessarily, but he saw their faith. How do you see faith? If I look at you, can I tell how much faith you have just by looking at you? Doesn't the book of James tell us something about that? James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I put in parentheses, impossible. And I will show you my faith by my works. James 2:18. James has a lot to say about the relationship between faith and works. If you have faith, that faith will find expression in the things you do. And Jesus saw that these men had faith. They went above and beyond, no pun intended, above and beyond to get their friend to Jesus. They believed that if they could get their friend to Jesus, he would be healed. And so they came up with a way to do it. They didn't let the obstacle of the crowd discourage them and cause them to turn back home and say, well, we'll never get there. What's the use? What's the use even trying? They faced an obstacle, and they overcame that obstacle by their faith. They climbed up, and they broke a hole, and they got him to Jesus. And Jesus was impressed with that. He saw their faith. He saw that they believed that if they brought their friend to me, that I could do something. I would do something. And they put forth quite an effort to accomplish that. You know, we all have obstacles. When we pray, obstacles present themselves. I have here, we might not be required to climb a house or tear up a roof, but obstacles present themselves in a variety of ways, both naturally and spiritually. A bank account, that can be an obstacle sometimes. A doctor's report. Discouraging advice or worsening symptoms can make can all make up the crowd that stands in our way. And then you add to this the time element. Sometimes that's an obstacle. The wait factor. You're praying, and it hasn't happened yet. And you keep praying, and you're waiting for God to answer. And it doesn't seem like he's hearing you. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. It doesn't happen as quickly as you'd like it to. That's an obstacle that we have to overcome in prayer. Not give up. We can give expression to our faith by persisting in prayer, no matter how long it takes. By not just believing the doctor's report, but believing his report. He heals all thy diseases. And so we all face obstacles. And sometimes the obstacles are very difficult for us to overcome. And that's where we need one another. Thank God for those four friends. I don't know how much faith the sick man had, but it's obvious that the four friends believed God, believed Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he told the man, your sins are forgiven you. And then he told him to rise up and walk. And he took up his bed and he walked. And the religious leaders got upset with him, as always. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Can imagine every household was talking about what had happened. Stop praying. We'll take over from here. You know, God has ordained it that way, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. If two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be given to them of my Father which is in heaven. A corporate prayer is so important. We have to learn to pray alone, first of all, but then we need to learn to pray together. I heard a minister talk about married couples. Each of them should have their own prayer life and should get alone with God themselves, but each couple should learn to pray together. That's why God put you together, so that you'll always have two to agree. It's been such a blessing praying with Lily all these years. We've been married 35 years. Yeah, right. And we've seen wonderful answers to prayer over those years. And sometimes we've been discouraged. When I've been discouraged, she's encouraged me. And when she's been discouraged, I've tried to encourage her. And that's how God has ordained it. You don't have to be married to have a prayer partner. Have someone that you can agree with. And when the whole church prays, I have a little faith, and you have a little faith. Let's put it all in the basket. Let's fill it up until we make a way for God to manifest himself. And so that's what we want to do while we're here at Pilgrim Camp. We want to pray. We have many prayer meetings throughout the week. There's staff prayer meetings and prayer meetings for the adults, the guests, and so on. And we want to take advantage of those. You know, there's something about camp. God has done something here to make it easy for us to touch him. You'll find that to be the case. He set his presence upon these grounds. And you find that, you know, at home, you were weary. You had this trial. It was lasting a long time. Your condition seemed to be getting worse. Your children seemed to be becoming more rebellious and going in a wrong direction. And it wears on you. And then you get up to a place like camp where you're surrounded by believers. Day by day, you have fellowship. You're in his house worshiping him morning, afternoon, night. And we just find that somehow it's just easier to unburden yourself, to feel his presence, to come into faith. And we can help one another along those lines. And so let's do that. I remember a story when I was a young person. I, I was out in Port Jefferson, Long Island. Anybody know where that is? Yes, some of you do, right. I attended a church there, and they had an evangelist. His name was Bert Seavey. I remember that. I was just a teenager. And God was doing something very special to revive his work in my life at that time. And Brother Seavey had something of a healing ministry, seemed to have good success in praying for the sick, and he told a story. He said he told a story of one time he had a healing line. After the meeting, people lined up to be prayed for, anointed with oil. And he said, all of a sudden, he heard a commotion, and a lady was crying in the line. And so he stopped to find out what was going on. And the woman said, you know, I was online waiting to be prayed for. And I looked at the person in front of me. And my heart just went out to them. And so I started praying for them. And as I prayed for them, God healed me. She didn't have to get to Bert Seavey. She got to Jesus before she got to him. But it happened while she was praying for someone else. You may have many needs that you've come up to camp with. And it's right that you want to pray about those things and have people pray with you. And you want to believe that God will meet those needs at this time. And I would just suggest to you that maybe he'll meet your need as you take upon your heart the need of someone else. Cultivate an interest in the people here. Get to know each other. Open up to one another as God leads you. And don't hesitate to go and pray with someone. Often at the end of meeting, we have times of prayer, waiting on God. If you feel led to go pray with someone, I like the guys to pray with the guys and the girls to pray with the girls. If you're younger, it's a good principle to follow. Sometimes ministers have to pray with both, and that's why I have a wife too. She helps me to pray with them. But I'd like to encourage you to do that. I need your prayers. I spoke to someone just the other day that I haven't heard from for years, and I was very surprised that he called me. And he said, you know, Brother Kenny, he said, I've been thinking about you and Sister Lily for the last month in our church. We've been praying for you. And he said, most of my people don't even know who Brother Kenny and Sister Lily are, but they were praying for you. And I thought, I wonder how often God does that. Gets people to pray for us and we don't even realize they're doing it. I was so touched by that. And you know, every once in a while when I go to prayer, I say, Lord, I'm claiming the answer to all the prayers that people are praying for me. Because I need it. The more time you spend in the ministry, the more you realize that you're not fit for this job. People come for salvation. I can't save anybody. People come for healing. I can't heal anybody or deliver anybody. I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit. All I can do is point you to Jesus. I need the power of God in my life. I need faith over the needs that present themselves. And that's where I need the prayers of God's people. And when we get too weary that we can't pray, God will send someone and they'll pray for you. They'll take up that burden. And then there'll come a time when you'll be the one to take up the burden for somebody else. And so as we bring this meeting to a close, we'd like to just spend time waiting on God. The meeting will be officially over and you can stay as long as you'd like or leave as soon as you need to. And if you have a prayer request or something on your heart, we'll be happy to pray with you. Just pray out, and we'll join with you. And let's begin. Let's begin this period at camp with a theme. The Lord teach us to pray. Let's begin it with prayer. Praise God. And now we're going to sing that song, Teach Me to Pray, Lord, Teach Me to Pray. We'll probably sing that a few times while you're here. And then I'll ask someone to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. And again, if you would like to wait on God, you can do that. Now, I know some of you have traveled and you're tired. Some of you have children you need to take care of. So don't feel guilty if you get up and leave. Jesus will keep some of you here 5 minutes and others maybe a half hour or so. I don't know. But that's between you and the Lord. Just make yourself available to him. Do you have the page, Lil? 398. Okay. Let's stand together while we sing. You've been sitting a while. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. This is my heart cry, day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. John Schreck, after we sing this last verse, will you pray with us, please?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Verse 4.
Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in thee,
attention to things that will help us to draw near to you.
Yes.
And so we thank you, Lord, for this subject that's been introduced, and we ask you, you will help us to give ourselves to it and to receive of your fullness the things that you have purchased for us. Keep us now as we pray or as we go different ways, and give us a good night's rest and stop the rain. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for your kind attention. God be with you.